first method is really creative scaling. It's about to avoid that ad fatigue. How do we come up with different angles, different hooks, different pattern interrupts, so that the same person does not see the same ad over and over again, but there's, because different people will resonate with different messages. Then the second and third way is just the horizontal and vertical scaling. But before we even touch horizontal and vertical scaling, we gotta take a look at the creatives first.
I spent the last 17 years building my eight-figure performance business without using any of my own money, working with some of the most brilliant direct response marketers in the world today. Now I'm looking for entrepreneurs to join my affiliate army, built on ethics, transparency, and good old hard work. Join me to change the perception of how people view the greatest business in the world, affiliate marketing, and follow along as I learn, apply, and share performance marketing strategies working with some of the brightest people on the planet. My name is Eric Beer, and welcome to the Performance Marketer Podcast.
All right, so we're here with Peng Joon, the man, the myth, the legend. I met Peng in Russell Brunson's inner circle. I've been following his career since that time. He has done amazing things. He is witty and smart, and he's built some amazing programs that I'm excited to introduce to you guys today, and maybe we get a bit of a gold nugget from him. Welcome, Peng. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So I know you travel a lot. Where are you today? Where are we getting you from?
I'm currently at the Sheraton here in Hanoi. Just did an event, flying off again tomorrow. But yeah, that's last couple of years I have been living out of my suitcase. I think that this doing what it is that I'm doing comes with a price as well, but it's still highly enjoyable and fulfilling for me. And I know that it has got pretty much a very limited lifespan to it. So that's why I'm doing it as much as I can right now.
Yeah. So in a 365-day year, how many days are you on the road?
So it's funny you ask this question. I was literally just looking at this and my Marriott app. And this over here is my Marriott app. I try to live in a Marriott-related hotel as much as I can. And just this year alone, I don't know if you can see the numbers, but over here, I have spent 161 nights in a Marriott hotel. And this is just this year alone. And I have done many events and spoken many different places, not staying in a Marriott hotel. So this is what I mean, living in my suitcase.
Wow.
It's great if you like to travel, if a person likes to speak and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that means it's amazing. And people would love to do that. And sometimes it's just the ability to just pick up and see what the world's all about. That's powerful, right? Because it's different and you run into different people. And I would imagine it amazes you because you get so caught up in your life and you think you understand your Facebook ads or how you build out an offer. And then you meet these people that don't know anything about what you do, and now you're now introducing them to this whole new world. It's got to be really rewarding, right?
Yeah, and not just that. At the same time, that is when through these events, I'm meeting these other people that's just playing at a whole new level. It's absolutely crushing it, 9-10 figures. And that as well inspires me to up my game and realize that, wow, what I'm still doing is still like nothing. So like yesterday, when I was talking to like Damon John, who spoke at this event as well, it's like, it's so humbling to see that sometimes when we're doing what we're doing, we think we're crushing it. But then when you speak to someone else who's just playing at a whole different level, it's like, that inspires me to stretch and have bigger goals and dreams and ambitions.
That's great. Well, I mean, you're a competitive guy and you obviously want to be successful and it shows in that way. And that's great. Listen, you've come a long way. The fact that you're on the same stage with him and maybe you'll be swimming with the sharks one day. That'd be cool. So take us back before we get into what you're doing right now. Take us back to how you got started in this. Like you're traveling 161 days a year, speaking, building out this online program, teaching people what you know. How did this all get started?
Here's the funny story. If we were to go back 10 years ago, like 2009 Peng Joon is a very different 2019 Peng Joon today. Like 10 years ago, all I wanted to do was to remain anonymous online and just make money through a pen name selling $37 ebooks on ClickBank, which is literally what I did starting up. So 2009, all I did was I never marketed anything under my name. I just created different pen names. And one of my favorite pen names I use for a lot of my gaming products was Tony Sanders. So if you know that story, I basically took Tony Robbins and Colonel Sanders. I put these two names together. And that was the pen name that I used for a lot of my products. I was pretty active in the gaming niche, in the dating niche. And what prompted me to do what I'm doing today was when I lost it all, like literally overnight. I built up this huge email list of close to 800,000 people. And all of a sudden, and life was good. I would like send one email out for like this new product and I would make like over $1,000 before lunch. And then I received this email from my email provider at that time, AWeber, and they said that my spam complaints were too high and they were shutting me down. And I realized that I actually sent one of my dating offers to my gaming list, which was insane because I had like, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand nerds receiving a dating offer. And you would have thought it would be a good message to market match, but it wasn't. So they shut me down and that's how I had to rebuild from scratch. And looking back in retrospect, I think that that was one of the most powerful things that happened for me because it pushed me to play at something that was outside my comfort zone when I decided what to build.
Yeah, that's a tough. I've been in the email space. I understand that all too well. Working with ESPs and dealing with the ISPs and deliveries are challenging things.
Here's the thing. Like, I was always, at that time, bitter about it because at that time, I took it to so first of all, they refused to give me a copy of my list, even though like it would cost them nothing. And I went on the phone like 5 times with them. I tried to escalate it to the manager and the manager's manager all the way to the CEO. I took it to the Warrior Forum, which was like, you know, the big internet marketing forum back then. And then it blew up, but because it went out of hand, they had to walk the thread. But yeah. I never got that list.
That's tough. Yeah. So anybody listening here, take a note on that. When you are generating leads or getting your opt-ins, make sure that you're getting it where it's going into your database, where you're controlling that data so that you can decide on what you do with those names. And if you get shut down by one of your email service providers, then you can take that list to another platform so that you're not losing your entire business in a blink of an eye, which, wow, that's unfortunate. That's tough, man. When that happens, it's humbling, but on the flip side, you learn from it. So what happened at that point? What'd you do?
So that was when I realized I had to restart. And for the first time ever, I started putting myself out there. I thought, what if I could teach people what I did in the gaming space and all these other markets and teach people how to monetize what they know? And that was when I created my first ever product under my own name in marketing, teaching people how to do it back then through Google AdWords, which was my main source of traffic back then.
And were you scared? Were you nervous? How'd you feel about putting yourself out there?
I remember when I started doing this, the scary part was that because it's now my real profile, whenever, and you know how it's like when you start putting stuff out there on social media in general, social media can be really brutal. Right? Now, before that, it never affected me or hurt me because I wouldn't care because it's not even my name.
Right.
I was protected. But when I started putting stuff out on social media, I had a lot of really brutal, nasty comments. All type of comments. Comments from like, oh, you're never going to speak internationally with that Ching Chong accent. You're never, you know, just all these different type of comments that could be like, so it was literally a personal development journey for me as well, trying to play this game.
I understand that. I'm living that world right now for the last 12 months. It's tough, right? Putting yourself out there. I think if there's one piece of advice you could give somebody is just do it, go for it and grow as time goes on. Don't listen to the people that are trying to knock you down. Put yourself in a position.
It's 1%. I say that the price to be paid is 1% of your audience not liking you, not agreeing with what you have to say based on different set of beliefs, based on different upbringings, and that is not personal. And if you can come from the angle, look, if somebody watches your content for 10, 15, 30 minutes and they're bashing you after that, they're not in a good place in life. And if you can come from that angle, then it's not going to affect you.
Yeah. I tell the audience here, because I love how you do this. When today, when someone puts a bad comment or says something rude to you, instead of you getting angry, you actually take the opposite approach and you turn it into a positive. Tell the audience what you do with that. I love that.
So one of the things that I do is that I will take the comments and I'll actually, some of them, and I'll turn it and help my team turn it into an ad. And what the funny thing that will happen is that when you do that, you'll have so many people on your side that ad, that comment that was initially negative can actually go viral. You know, so that's one of the things that you can do if you want to monetize your haters.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really amazing. I saw that out in the marketplace. I just started laughing because I know you, and I was just like, wow, that's brilliant. It's just brilliant. You're having fun with it. You're enjoying it. You're not taking things too serious. And you obviously realize you're impacting so many other people's lives that for one or two or three haters, don't even pay attention to them. Let's use it in a good way. And it's nice because you're polarizing, right? So the people that love you, love you.
Well, to clarify on that point, I don't think I'm a polarizing person. I just understand that effective marketing requires polarizing messages. So I might lead with a polarizing message, even though I'm not a polarizing person, because with a polarizing message, that is when you can get better visibility.
Yeah, no doubt. That's cool. Yeah, I love it. That's great. So keep us going. Get to the point where you start to grow.
Well, so here's what I've learned from this journey, right? When it comes to marketing, speaking, sales, trying to build that bigger reach and bigger following, I realized that all these different organizers, the reason why they would invite you on their stages is only two reasons. Okay. Number one, either you can help them sell more tickets because you're some sort of celebrity and you can fill the room for them. Or number two, you actually help them make money and help them monetize their event. So there's only two types of speakers. Either you help them sell tickets or you help them monetize. So number one would be if you have a huge following, you have millions of people, and just by saying that you're speaking at an event attracts more people, then that's when they have. So I wasn't in that category, and I'm probably still not in that category. But number two is if you can actually make them money. So when I started off, I spoke at my first event, and let's just say it was horrible. Totally bombed, no idea what I was doing. And I thought that as long as I gave the audience great content, great value, they would make that informed decision and buy what it is I have to offer. Now, that is not how things work at all. In theory, they'll tell you that that's true, but it's not practical. So I learned it the hard way. I realized that there's a lot more to it when it comes to platform closing and speaking. And I'm the type of person where if I fail at something, if I bomb at something, all the more I want to be able to prove it to myself that I can actually do it. So because of that, I started taking on all these different gigs, even though it wasn't necessarily the best ROI of my time. And I would just say yes to many different countries and events that weren't wildly profitable, like India and Philippines and even here in Vietnam. But I would do it just for that practice time, because I understand that the journey to mastery is 10,000 hours. So fast forward today, that's why I'm still doing it. And if we can understand that every single skill set in entrepreneurship, whether it's running Facebook ads, whether it's speaking, whether it's selling, we can master them with time, with enough practice. And that's how I think about every single skill set in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. 10,000 hours is a lot of time, right? It takes a good amount of practice. But like anything in life, if you don't practice, you're not going to be good at it. That's the bottom line. So now you've been buying media online for a long time. You just said you were proficient in Google Ads, and you've recently put out this program with showing people how to buy media on Facebook and all the different types of ads that you have in the marketplace. How does Google Ads apply to Facebook ads? How would you say they're the same? And how did you get from Google Ads to now being this expert on Facebook and being able to find the people that you want to deliver your message to?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that these two type of traffics are, first of all, we need to understand and distinguish the two different type of angles, right? So Google Ads is more about search. It's about people's, somebody else's intention. Whereas Facebook is about the pattern interrupt, right? People are scrolling on their feed, and as they're scrolling while they're sitting down in their toilets, we need to have something that hooks their attention, that is a pattern interrupt. So this would be based on our headline. This could be the thumbnail. This could be the call out that makes them stop the scroll. So the two biggest angle, if you can understand the distinction between the two things, is that for Facebook, we want to create content that is, that stops them in their tracks. Whereas Google, it is about having a message that is congruent to what it is that they're searching for. So it still comes back down to communication, comes back down to copy, but tweaking it so that it matches the context of the viewer and the audience.
Yeah. And in regards to the Facebook end, you are doing things where you create all these different ads, but at the end of the day, it all travels back to the same core offer on the back end. So all of these ads that you're disrupting people on is just trying to get their attention, right? So when you go through this, you've created this book, this program that you've been kind enough to put out into the world, the $1 million ads. And what you have here is your 14 ways of interrupting people. Is that correct?
Yes. I believe there's 15 different angles.
15.
There. But I believe that when it comes to Facebook ads, there's really just three ways to scale, right? The first method is really creative scaling. Creative scaling just is about to avoid that ad fatigue. How do we come up with different angles, different hooks, different pattern interrupts, so that the same person does not see the same ad over and over again, but there's, because different people will resonate with different messages. Then the second and third way is just the horizontal and vertical scaling, right? But before we even touch horizontal and vertical scaling, we got to take a look at the creatives first. And that is why I released that book. It was just based upon the different hooks and angles that I utilized, my team utilized, in order to cover different angles.
Yeah. So who would you say these ads would work for? Because I know a lot of people will watch experts and they'll see, oh, you're doing it, but you're going online and you're then going to go and do a live event. But that's not me. That's not something I'm interested in doing. And people don't understand how to apply what you're teaching them to their business. So does it apply to a coach? Does it apply to a chiropractor or someone that's in cooking or a musician?
Right. So whether you own a gym or whether you're a real estate agent or whether you're a coach or whether you're a seminar leader, we got to understand that the architecture and the flow of an ad and the framework will always be the same. You just need to rewrite it and fill in the blanks based on your industry or based on what niche you're in. So let me give you one of the frameworks. Okay. So for example, one of the very popular framework that I utilized was based upon a framework that I believe that it's from Zig Ziglar, like really from back in the day, one of the most old school techniques when it comes to closing someone. Okay. So every single salesperson is conditioned to never disagree with the prospect. So if the prospect says, I find this thing too expensive, every single good salesperson is trained to never disagree, but rather agree and then turn that objection around. Okay. So for example, so the way to do that is through the feel, felt, found framework. Okay. So for example, if you were to write an ad, a good angle is utilizing this first framework, which is, I understand how you feel. I felt the same way, but here's how, what I found. Okay, so for example, so you could be, give me a market, give me a niche, anything.
Gardening.
Gardening, okay. So do you feel like you have to weed your garden every single day and there seems to be these never-ending weeds that would pop up every other day, driving you insane? I felt the same way. For a really long time, every day I would go out to my garden and I would be trying to weed and pick these different things, weeds from the root. But here's what I found. I found that the best way to eliminate weed completely is to determine what was the core cause of these weeds happening in the first place. And that's when you can have a solution to what this weed eliminator is. So that's why, even if you're a coach, even if you're in weight loss, even if you're selling real estate, you can apply the feel-felt-found method. So it's not about what industry you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're selling a physical product or a digital product. It is about utilizing different frameworks that make sense, that you can copy and paste and deploy and fill in the blanks, regardless of what market you're in.
Yeah, the three Fs. Feel, felt, found. Take a note, everybody. That was genius right there. So is that in the Million Dollar Ads book?
Yeah, that's one of the frameworks out of the 15 frameworks.
So you have 15 frameworks that are in this ad book where you can literally read exactly how you go about your creating these ads for different industries. And then someone that's in gardening, someone that's a coach, someone that likes music can come, read, look, and then apply exactly what you're doing to their industry and then be able to go out to the market and start buying ads with proven techniques. Is that accurate?
That's right. And that's how you have ads that is actually interesting. Most marketers, when they run ads, it's just ad that says, buy my stuff. It's not funny. It's not engaging. It's not educational. It's not entertaining. But these ads have some level of shareability where they would actually want to tag their friend, share it on their feed, or at the very least, like and comment on the ad. And that's how you get the most out of each dollar you spend on Facebook.
And when you're using these ads, if there's 15 different frameworks, how do you know when to use each ad? And then how do you apply it? How many clicks do you need to determine if it's working or not before you change?
So all frameworks can be utilized in any market. So just pick one and utilize it. How do you know if it works? Well, as long as you get your tracking in place and you can see your cost per purchase, after spending $10, $15, $50, $100, you would know if the ad is working or not. And based on how, if you follow the framework, it's going to, at the very least, have a huge improvement to what it is that you're currently doing if you do not have a framework.
Yeah, very cool. I love it. I've been following you for a long time and studying it, and it works. What you do works. Anybody that's struggling buying ads on Facebook or just guessing and don't have a framework, you need to check out this book. He's got a Journey Through the Symptom ads. He's got his blockbuster ads. He already explained his feel, felt, found ads, his Red Ocean Strategy ads. He's so clever with how he goes about delivering this information for someone else to use. I thank you for putting it out there because I've used it multiple times and it's worked for me. So I recommend anybody that's listening to this who's buying Facebook ads or looking to buy Facebook ads, check it out, milliondollarads.com. Peng Jun. Yeah, Peng, this is cool. I appreciate it, man, taking your time to sit and explain a little bit of this to us while you're traveling. Maybe you should go get some sleep now and try to relax a little bit before the holidays. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you at Funnel Hacking Live.
All right, man. Yeah, I will see you there.
All right, buddy. Thanks for your time. Take care.
Would you like to learn how I built my business using other people's money? If so, then go join my 21-day challenge at performancemarketersecrets.com. I look forward to meeting you and welcoming you into my family. And remember, results don't lie, but the people who don't have any do. Thanks for listening.